took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. This is Pastor David, and I'm with my brother.
Pastor Barry.
Yes. Oh, we're so glad to be back with you. Listen, before we go into our theme for tonight, I have to apologize. In the last program, when we were talking, and I mixed up what Cain and Abel were doing, and we haven't gotten any letters or calls from people yet, but I thought I would get in front of that and say that what I had said was that Abel was the gardener and Cain was the animal husbander. And in fact, I had mixed that up, that Abel was the guy that had the barnyard animals, the sheep mostly,
right,
and that Cain was the guy that grew the crops. And still, you know, the point, though, is that Abel gave God the best, you know, the first fruits of the produce of his lambs, of the lambs from his sheep. And, but Cain, you know, would just throw the gnarliest vegetables on that smoking pile of the altar he'd made in the field. It was just horrible.
No. Oh. Well, you know, I think the Lord forgives you for that.
Well, you have to ask him. I do believe, as we can see, and of course, Cain compounded that by murdering his brother. And so, but, you know, throughout all of that, there is a message, and that's God loves his people, even in the midst of our sin, and he wants to save us. So that's important. You know, I hang on to that myself.
Thank you for sharing that, because that it's important that, you know, we share our mistakes, our confusion. And I think that's the first time you've ever been wrong, David.
No, there was another time. Brother Tim pointed out another time, but I know, which I greatly appreciate, Brother Tim, by the way. So tonight, our theme is unity for the body of Christ. Now, we have this is not the first time we've touched on this.
Right.
But it is truly an important issue that we need to be praying about and become, you know, deeply aware about. Scripture is full of God's call for his people to be in unity with himself and with each other. And of course, in the New Testament, we see all of this coming together in the body of Christ. You know, Paul writes a lot about unity. Jesus himself, in fact, Barry is going to read from a section from what we call the Farewell Discourse in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is offering an incredibly long, full, rich prayer for his disciples. And the part that Barry's going to read is from John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, with that in mind, because this is a command from Jesus, God, from our Lord and Savior. So ask yourself, listeners, ask yourself, is the church fulfilling this today? Now think. You might want to rush to judgment and say, oh, yes, of course.
Bill, but, that requires honesty.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a little painful. Because every church wants to believe that they're correct.
Yes.
That they're doing the right thing. And I've often told people, if your church is Christ-centered and Bible-based, God bless you.
Yes.
But sometimes, David, and you've seen this in your life, that there are people out there who may take a verse or two or three or ten and say, you know, I believe I'm interpreting this differently.
Yeah.
And therefore, I can't go forward in this church, so I'm going to start my own group.
Because obviously I'm right.
Because I'm right.
Yeah.
over all these thousands of years, I figured it out. And then they start another church, and then there's a split there and a split there and a split there. And the only being that thinks this is wonderful is Satan. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care
when you go to church, as long as you go to different churches.
Right. And that means, you know, the more churches, the more denominations that Christians have to attend, mm-hmm. is the less chance, less opportunity, I should say, for unity.
Right.
Because what is unity? You know, we want to talk about what unity is going to look like. Now, keep in mind, Barry and I believe, and there are many others we've talked to and read works and listened to their sermons and their teaching. We're trying to track along. We want to track along with all the truth that's coming through the believers in all those areas to say that the unity that Jesus talks about is not an option, folks.
No.
It's not a cost, not something we pick from column A or column B or column C. Jesus expected his church to be at unity with each other and at the same time with him. And to be honest, I'm just going to be brutal. brutal, and say that when you look at the church at large, that is not what's happening today.
No, it's not. And there's actually prejudice between different groupings.
Oh, yeah.
And that grieves the Holy Spirit, David.
It does.
But I must say, I got to witness unity a few times in my life,
mm-hmm.
as a preacher, as a pastor. One particular time was, I won't say which one, but there's a homeless shelter, a feeding ministry, mm-hmm. in town. And it's supported by many churches. It does indeed take, mm-hmm. more than one. And there was a church service and a big meal. And prior to the church service and the big meal, there was some parking lot discussions about this particular grouping and that one and this one. And it was painful to hear,
mm.
coming from the mouths of preachers and pastors. And I suggested that we put it on the shelf for now and let's go do the work of Christ. So we went off and fed physically, you know, a meal, and then we had a church service where they were spiritually fed. And in the service to Christ, as everybody was working shoulder to shoulder, you began to see some of the lines of division dissipate. And it was a beautiful thing to witness, because people put their egos and their opinions on the shelf, and they just went out and served Christ.
Yes.
And that's so important to focus in on, because people, this drives me a little crazy sometimes. Well, why did your church disband, or why did your church do away with this? Well, half the church didn't really believe it anyway, so we just took it out of the book. Or we took that tradition out because that was too much like, and I won't say which church, but you know what I'm talking about, someone with a lot of tradition and history.
Yes.
And there's that prejudice right there again.
Yeah.
And if people would just reach out to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's it.
Yes.
With no name tags on. Name tags drive me crazy, David, because I know, when we stand before the Lord, there's a big Rubbermaid garbage can, and you got to take your name tag off of the different non-denominations and denominations that you belong to, because they don't count in heaven.
No, I'm not even sure now. This is going to be, I'm probably going to wade right neck deep into the quicksand of division here. And I'm not trying to create division.
Here it goes.
But I want people to understand,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not making this up. We didn't sit, down together and say, hey, how can we really upset all of our listeners? We didn't do that. But we really are being honest. We are being honest. We're letting the Lord speak through us, and He's already shared with us these things in our own private prayers and in our conversations as pastors, and we've shared this with our church several times. But you know, the thing we need to remember is now God wants unity. So first of all, whose will is that? Well, I just dropped His name.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's will that there be unity. So we can count on God to be working in the two realms, as you know. There's a spirit realm,
mm-hmm.
where God's, warring. Of course, God always wins, but there's a war going on between God and the devil, and the armies are coming, and they clash. And, of course, God does win those clashes always. Mm-hmm. But there's also then we begin to see in the natural realm the effect of God's victories, and we're beginning to see that. So because we continue to talk about the revival that God intends to bring about first in America,
right,
but then for the rest of the world, that God knows that he's going to have a unified church as a part of that revival.
Mm-hmm.
Because think of it for a minute. Do you think Christians that represent 30,000 different denominations of Christianity on the Protestant side now?
Right.
I'm not even talking yet about the Catholic
side. That's a real
side.
Number, folks.
That's a real number. Mm-hmm. All over the world. Do you think that on our own we could get together in the kind of unity that God intends his church to have? Because there are people, unbelievers, coming from every avenue that are hungry. They will be hungry for God. God is tapping into that. And we can't be standing there in our denominational confusion at that time.
Mm.
Now, that time is not today, but it's coming. So listen, buckle your seatbelts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on to that bar. Have you ever done any roller coasters, right? I love the big steel ones and the big wooden ones because, you know, it's like that. If you've ever been in a roller coaster, you know, when the bar comes down and locks and you hang on to that so hard that your fingerprint's impressed in the metal and you're going up that hill getting ready for that first drop,
that's kind
of the way it is. But listen to this. God wants us to see we're all in the same ride. We're all in the same ship. A great image of the church is the ship, among
Absolutely.
Other things. We're all together, but we have to be willing to let go of the denominational identities that separate us.
You know who's very successful at that? Are the elderly. I work in a nursing home, or several of them, and we provide a church service. Church service. It's not a Baptist church. It's not Lutheran. It's none of the above. It's called church.
Yeah.
And we do that because, let me tell you, folks, some of these folks in their 90s, they've been a Christian their whole life. They just want to hear the Word of God. They want to unpack some scriptures. They want to praise God and take a nap.
Yeah.
They don't care who you are up there as long as you're following through the scripture and you're not changing the words. And you're not telling them that they need to be part of a different club.
Yeah.
They just want Jesus. Like one of them told me the other day, who's 92, I'm so close to heaven, I can see it from here.
Whoa,
I don't care what
wonderful.
You are. Just share the Bible with
Amen.
Me. I can see it. So they get it. And you know who else gets it, David? Kids.
Yeah, kids.
Little kids.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to talk about God? Cool. They don't care what uniform you wear, what name tag you've got on.
Right.
It comes down to the basics. I always equate religion to being like a beautiful Christmas tree that you chop down in the snowy mountain, you drag into the cabin, it's gorgeous. But by the time you get all the decorations on it, you can't see the tree anymore.
I know. Yeah.
And religion is like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's traditions and people don't even know why they do it.
But because it's a tradition.
They just do it.
We've just done it. Forever.
Yeah. Or sometimes it's bare bones and they don't know why it's bare bones. That's the way they've done it. And it creates more division. You know, it's funny because when I visit some of my patients, David, they'll say, well, I'm not that religious. And I say, good, let's talk about God.
Exactly.
Because I tell you, when you're that close to leaving this planet, you cut through all the stuff.
Yes.
And religion kind of takes a little side seat there, you know. We just want to embrace Christ.
And we don't want to embrace the spirit of religion, although that's happened in a lot of cases, and a lot of churches really gotten into that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spirit of religion is a demonic spirit, and it makes us get so embedded in being rote and routine.
Right.
Now, again, keep in mind, I'm not coming against churches that have a rich worship life, full of movement and music and scripture.
I agree.
You know?
But you know, you don't want to be Pharisaic, if I can make up a new word, because
that's an old word.
They got caught up in
Yeah.
Religion more so than their spiritual life.
Yes.
And that can easily happen. And that happens also because of pride.
Yeah, you know? Pride's a big deal.
Jesus really called him out on that.
Oh, he did. That's one of the reasons they wanted to put him on a cross.
Yeah, he called him out. He said, you're all about your rules and your religion, but what did he say? I demand mercy more than a sacrifice.
Yeah. Go and learn what this means. He loved to be a good rabbi. Go and learn what this means. Yes, I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
Yeah.
And if you look at that phrase throughout the Bible, the Psalms, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus
mm-hmm.
brings it up. It's because, now here is again the difference there, good point, Barry, mm-hmm. between spirituality and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because spirituality is, first of all about listening to God first and doing what he says, which is much, much better. You know. And yeah, sometimes he calls us out of comfort zones. Comfort zones are the places we go when we're being religious. Right?
That is so true, David.
You know, yes. I go, okay, I'm comfortable. I've done the up and down. I've done the sideways. I've read the right words. You know, I've been religious and I feel better. But, you know, really there's an emptiness there. But this has been, the spirit of religion is the biggest single reason why we don't have unity in the church today.
There you go.
It's, again, that denomination you mentioned earlier. Well, if you walk into the church and as soon as you cross over the threshold, you use your left foot, that's wrong. Because right. when in our church, we cross the threshold with our right foot. Now, I'm making something of it. I'm kind of joking. I'm being satirical, if mm-hmm. you will. But, you know, the point, if you get it, it's really true. If we get so much into the way we do things,
mm-hmm.
we get away from what God wants to do
right.
in and through us. And, in fact, this theme is going to repeat itself in one of our other programs.
Yes,
maybe
it is.
Next week or the week following. But that's, see, we have to stop. Okay, here's what I recommend.
Okay.
In the few, we still have about 10 minutes, Barry. But you know how it goes. We get rolling.
David watches the clock.
Well, I have to, yes. I'm looking at the screen that tells
right
me how much time
face.
We have. Yeah. Yeah, but this is important, friends.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what church you go to, and I hope you are a heavily involved Christian in some worshiping body.
Amen to
whether
that.
It's a bricks and mortar church or a home church, or maybe you're out in the mission field,
mm-hmm.
whatever you're doing for the Lord, praise God. Thank you for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing is so many of these issues that separate us are so hidden. They're not obvious. And so what I'm going to ask our listeners is, first of all, be quiet in the prayer closet when you go to be with Jesus and say, Lord, show me what it is where, in part of my denominational connection, where there's prejudice there,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't allow me to see your Holy Spirit working in someone else, another Christian
right.
that's in another denomination.
Right.
Okay. And in a moment, I know Barry's got something to say. I can see it bubbling up in his spirit. But as soon as you've been able to share that, I want to get back to the rift between Catholic and Protestant for a minute.
Ooh, he said the word.
I did. Yeah, I did.
And it goes back a number of years.
We call them centuries
yes.
when they get that accumulation of years. Yeah.
It's unfortunate for both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
Because I completely understand, and I agree
yeah.
with the Protestant movement at the time that it occurred.
Right.
It had to be done.
Yeah.
Things were not going well. Things were way out of line. And the people were not being served as they should have been. You know, the clergy at the time of the Reformation had forgotten.
Yes.
So what do they call it? Spiritual amnesia of why they were called to be priests and
yes.
bishops and such. And they were out of touch.
Yeah.
They were not there to serve. They were there to be served, which was the opposite of what Jesus Christ told us to do.
Yeah.
And so I understand the Reformation. I understand the Protestant protesting. I understand all that. But over the centuries, some things on both sides have been lost.
Yeah.
And that was the first great division, right?
It was.
And that's what started the wheels rolling on even the Protestant religion dividing itself up into so many different divisions.
One thing, since I'm glad you honed right in on that, because the one thing that is helpful, I believe all Protestants should study up on why there was a Reformation. Mm-hmm. Because there's on both sides, you know, we, but here's the thing. The Reformation, Protestant Reformation really occurred in the 16th century.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in the 21st century. So how many centuries is that, Barry? You're good at math.
Is it five centuries?
Five.
Almost six.
Almost 600 years.
Yeah.
And so there's 600 years of truth being mixed in with fantasy. By that I mean, hey, we're making stuff up because it sounds good. That's mm-hmm. what people do, you know, and the devil really loves to get in that. Keep in mind, you know, I'm not coming down on anybody on either side of the Protestant, you know, Catholic-Protestant divide.
Right.
But keep in mind, it's a divide. Now, so you have to, and I've asked the Lord this, and I'm just going to say to our listeners, you ask the Lord this, does he want, does he, God, not Pastor Dave, not Pastor mm-hmm. Barry, does he want that divide to continue? Or is he going to want to bring the Christians on both sides of that divide together? Now, as you can probably guess, I already have an answer for that.
Yes, you do. And it's not God rhetorical. Let me say,
this is like a historical segue. And you can study this. You can go to whatever historical resource you want and mm-hmm. verify it. When Martin Luther, as he was the one, he did, the work that he did really fed the Protestant Reformation. His right. writings, his teaching, his preachings. He was reacting against the attitude in the church that Barry just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
A real prideful, you know, self-serving attitude.
Right.
Which goes right back to Pope Leo X, who was the pope that Martin Luther struggled with, who was someone who came out of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I mean, I'll tell you, at the age of 13, he was a cardinal. All right. That's a big deal in the Catholic Church. If you know anything about cardinals, not the birds, but the office of at the age of 13.
And where did they ever find the robes to fit a 13-year-old kid?
Well, you know,
kid, huh?
He was from a wealthy family. They had no problem, you know, finding someone to sew them. But the point is that, you know, he from the first time, and he was a person of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
He had tremendous appetites. I mean, literally too. I mean, he was kind of a large guy, a large pope.
Okay,
but he had spiritual appetites that he had to satisfy, physical appetites. He was, he had some good sides. You know, I'm not saying you study the history, you'll see what people say about him. But this attitude that because the Pope tend to be in a position of unique authority
mm-hmm.
and setting the pace for those under him, that this attitude of privilege, out of his own nobility, background, and money,
power.
Unfortunately, he was not good with money, and so he broke the church. I believe literally broke the church, but that's another story. But the point was, because of that, a lot of what Martin Luther was struggling against
mm-hmm.
was influenced by his attitude, this Pope, Pope Leo X. And so that really was the spark that built a fire under Martin Luther, and ultimately with other people who were dissatisfied, because
one guy
alone can't do it, really moved this Protestant Reformation on. Okay, we understand that. Not complaining mm-hmm. myself about the Protestant Reformation.
It had to be done.
Had to be done. But I believe, I believe, having studied the scriptures, prayed, asked God for guidance, that with all of that,
mm-hmm.
God is moving now to bring us all together, Catholics and Protestants. And Barry and I, of course, are on the Protestant side, and we have been for the longest time.
Right.
And so we are doing our part here to heal the division as God calls his people to pray and to articulate what God gives us to say.
Right. And it's God can do anything, as we all know and believe.
Yeah. It's
going to take his intercession. And in our lifetime, will we see it, David? We don't know. We just don't know. But I do know this, that before the second coming of Christ, this has got to be resolved.
It will be. No,
it's got to
be
resolved.
we do have to pray and intercede on behalf of the church, our own body of Christ, mm-hmm. Because God expects us to take ownership over His will. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is we're not, we can't sit back, as some people have this attitude. Well, God's going to do it anyway. I'll just sit in my recliner and chew on some popcorn and watch TV. Well, God does all that. But if you read the scriptures, that the Word of God calls forth our, that we agree with God in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and we are to pray constantly, seeking God's will for, how should I come together with you, God, in prayer? What is your will that you want me to agree with you? And God, we intend to do that. So we have to do that. So put down your bowl of popcorn, get out of your recliner, get on your knees, and say, God, how can Amen. I be a part of this?
And you know, you got to realize this too, that the people coming in from the world that are looking for Christ, they'll look to the left, look to the right, and say, okay, now where do I go?
Yeah.
Because they're not looking for a church. They're not looking for a religion. They are starving to death for Christ.
Amen.
And both sides of the fence, folks, we have a responsibility to bring these people to the cross.
Amen.
The cross, not any particular church's cross.
Yeah, or a set of doctrines that are peculiar to your denomination.
Right.
You know, it's the basic gospel. It's the essential Word of God. It's the unadorned, unadulterated, unencumbered truth
mm-hmm.
that contains God's proclamation of mercy, that He wants to save the worst sinner.
Amen. And we need to reach out to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and unify. It sounds simple, but we need to get over our prides and prejudices.
Yes.
And we need to get our act together, David.
And we need to, you know, kind of lovingly remind our brothers and sisters about that too.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping in mind, I mean, I like to hear it the first time.
Truth and love.
But God's grace is pouring out for this. We have just maybe 42.7 seconds
to
left.
To be exact.
To be exact. Not, yeah. I would like to close us in a quick prayer.
Let's do that,
quick,
David.
But substantial. Father God, what we've talked about tonight, I know, has been received by joy of some of our listeners. Others may even want to turn off the radio and walk away. I have no idea. But, Lord, for the church, your church, to be in unity with you, this is your will. It's in your word, and it is being spoken in our hearts today. Lord, help us. Help us to be willing to be instruments of this unity, whatever it takes, to serve you, God, so that we can be part of this church that stands lovingly with open arms for those lost people to come during this season of great revival. Put our arms around them to introduce them to you, Lord Jesus, to bring them into the core of our families, our church family, so they can be loved, healed, and discipled. And we just ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother?
Yes, brother.
Have a blessed week, and we will be here next week for another word.
We look forward to it. God bless you all. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Nothing shall I fear on this battleground. Nothing shall I fear when the enemy surrounds me. You will defend me. I won't be afraid. This is not